Welcome to Voicing Our Values, a series of podcasts about progressive message framing. This is the 12th segment entitled, How to Talk About Taxation. I'm Bernie Horn, the Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Public Leadership Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that seeks to help progressive lawmakers and advocates, particularly at the state and local levels of government. Please take some time to look around our website, www.publicleadershipinstitute.org. In addition to the Voicing Our Values messaging handbook, you'll find the Progressive Agenda, which contains hundreds of policy ideas and more than 150 model bills, our handbook for policy advocates called Preparing to Win, and much more. Our last podcast, number 11, explained how to talk about social services in a way to get around the problem of confirmation bias that we explained in podcast number 1. To persuade, you need to understand your audience's preconceptions and where you share common ground. To avoid triggering negative emotional reactions and confirmation bias, you must start from a point of agreement and provide voters with a bridge from their preconceptions to your solutions. Along the way, show that your policies are consistent with values that they already hold dear and explain how they benefit. All this is designed to remind your listeners over and over again that you are on their side. The question now is, how do we apply this when talking about taxation? Over the years, we progressives have been attacked by the right wing, quite effectively, as impractical bleeding hearts. We've been attacked as favoring the poor more than we favor the middle class. Am I right? So let me say right at the top of this podcast what progressives must do. When you're talking about taxation, you must tell middle class voters how your policies will help them, not just the poor. So how do we do that? As we told you in podcast number 2, begin any argument in agreement with your audience. When talking about taxation, you could say something like this. The rich don't pay their fair share in taxes. At least 2/3 to 3/4 of persuadable Americans believe that. In fact, you'll only get pushback from hardcore right-wingers who are simply defending their ideology. If those people thought about it, they'd probably agree privately that the rich don't pay their fair share. It's just so obvious. But there's even a broader way to begin in agreement, and that's by saying, our tax system is unfair. It is, and everybody agrees about that. It's just that they may have a different reason for thinking it's unfair. Saying the rich don't pay their fair share or that the tax system is unfair is dramatically different than starting the conversation with a progressive solution. No matter how much you might like the proposals out there, do not begin by talking about a 70% tax on high incomes or a 3% tax on multimillionaires' assets. That just plays into the stereotypes about us being bleeding heart liberals. You can end there. You can end with your solution, but don't start with it. After we begin an agreement, which we must always do, then we have to use values. What are progressive values when it comes to taxation? Well, how about fairness, fair share, justice, equal opportunity, and level playing field? So, what's our vision on taxation, and how do we put it into a short narrative? Something like this. On the federal, state, and local levels, our tax policies must be fair to everyone. The fact is, our tax system is thoroughly unfair. It's rigged with loopholes and giveaways that benefit only a few, usually rich individuals and big corporations, at the expense of all the rest of us. Everyone should pay their fair share, and to accomplish that, we must, first, require disclosure of tax giveaways. Second, eliminate those giveaways that unfairly benefit the rich and powerful. And three, raise taxes on those who pay too little and cut taxes for people who are paying too much. Now, that narrative is rarely used among progressives, but it absolutely works. Who's going to disagree that our policies must be fair to everyone? Who's going to disagree that the tax system's thoroughly unfair and that it's rigged with loopholes and giveaways? And who's going to disagree with the general statement of what needs to be done? So, before we go further, let's talk a little bit more about polling. Voters are pretty cynical about taxes. They believe that lower and middle income Americans pay too much in federal taxes, and that can be a problem if you're trying to raise their taxes. At the same time, by a 2-to-1 margin or more, they believe that upper income people and corporations are paying too little. Americans favor, quote, increasing taxes on wealthy Americans and large corporations, but the desire to tax the rich is heavily affected by partisanship. While 84% of Democrats and 63% of independents would increase taxes on wealthy individuals and large corporations, only 38% of Republicans would do so. Americans think that tax is unfair, and you certainly agree that tax laws have been engineered to unfairly benefit the rich and special interests. So don't defend taxes. You don't get anything from that. Defend tax fairness. So you don't say language like tax relief. Never say tax relief, because that says that taxes are an affliction that need to be relieved. They're not. And don't say taxes are a necessary evil of a democracy or whatever. That's going to get you nowhere unless you're in a, a college class. What you want to say is tax fairness, tax giveaways and tax loopholes, private tax subsidies, a rigged tax system. Why is that? You don't want to frame taxes in a way that works against you. The problem is not the existence of taxes. It's that federal, state, and local taxes are riddled with giveaways and loopholes for the politically powerful. You can also call them private tax subsidies. Whatever you do, don't defend unpopular tax systems. And don't begin with a raft of statistics either. Start by agreeing with voters. Something like this, our tax system is unfair. The tax burden on working families has increased, while rich people and large corporations pocket more and more tax giveaways. And that is wrong. We need to change the rules to create a tax system that works for all of us, not just the wealthy few. Why say it that way? Because no one likes to pay taxes, and persuadable voters don't want to hear a lecture about taxes paying for civilized society. But generally, people accept that they should pay their fair share. Now, interestingly, a progressive monologue about taxes becomes less popular if it begins with unfairness and then goes on to say what government could do with the money. This is because persuadable voters don't really believe that government needs more money. They believe one-third to one-half of tax dollars are wasted. So talking about the good things government can do with the taxes it collects evokes voters' biases against tax and spend politicians. So stick with your plea. Now let me address a couple of specifics, some assertions that you might have to deal with. One is the right-wing argument that 47% of Americans pay no taxes. If you know anything about this, they're talking about federal income taxes only, ignoring all the other many taxes that we all pay and that less affluent people pay the most of. So here's an answer. Everyone needs to pay their fair share of taxes. And in fact, everyone who earns a salary pays taxes for Social Security and Medicare. Everyone who buys products at a store or owns a home pays taxes. Everyone who has a telephone or cable service pays taxes. When all the federal, state, and local taxes and fees are added together, almost everybody pays about 20 to 30% of their income. The fact is that the richest individuals and the largest companies in America do not pay anywhere near their fair share in taxes. So that's the response to 47%. The other argument I wanted to call it here is about the inheritance tax, which the right wing calls the death tax, that they're, again, trying to abolish outright. So in responding to an argument, oh, we're all hurt by the death tax, say something like this: everyone should pay their fair share of taxes. Now, if we repealed the tax on inheritance, the system would be far more tilted to benefit the richest people in America. That's because you and I don't pay any inheritance tax. It only applies to the very wealthiest people. Only about 2,000 people per year across the entire country pay the inheritance tax. And they already have their share of tax breaks. Worse, if we eliminate the source of taxes to the government, you and I would make up the difference. If you're for tax fairness, you're for keeping, if not expanding, the inheritance tax. For more specific ways to answer right-wing arguments, please refer to our book, Voicing Our Values, available on the PLI website. In future podcasts, we'll show how to use our five basic rules of persuasion to debate many other issues. In the meantime, do us a favor and recommend the Voicing Our Values series of podcasts to your friends. Best to you.